chance and risk getting knocked out.
Your number one source for combat sports.
Oh, I just like that. How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
And it's all over!
Bing! Right on the jaw!
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
Yeah. It landed chin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome in. Good evening. We're going to talk about the art of ass whipping, the business of beatdowns this evening. I'm Ozone, your host, alongside T-Mac, Thomas McCullough.
Hello.
Who's running the board this evening. And guest co-host, rocking the mic, it's Brian Ibs, a human cockfighter. What's up, sweet daddy?
Not much, brother. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well, man. Big news. Lots of things going on.
We got a lot going on right now.
UFC 167, that was last weekend. I was in Las Vegas, man. Totally devoid of charm. Lots of fun to be had, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But dang. I mean, it's like Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. Dresses up, got the lip piercings, the nose piercings, the ear piercings, the tattoos, the makeup, the dyed hair, and all that kind of stuff. When you talk to him, he's really boring. There's just nothing there.
Gotcha.
He's not real smart, but he's all gussied up and, whoa, man, check this dude out. He looks kind of crazy, man. Looks like he'd be a good time. And I'm sure he is to hang out with and stuff, especially if he's buying. But underneath all that, there's no charm. There's just nothing. It's just flat, you know. Underneath Vegas, all that, you know, just the craziness that goes on with Vegas, the neon lights and what have you. It's just a desert.
Great analogy.
It's a desert.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So we'll talk a little about that. And Brian Ives is going to talk about some stuff. What are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, I've been traveling, of course. Friday night, I was in Columbia, Missouri for Midwest Fight League. Kevin Kroom was the main event against Derek Ripley. Great fight. A couple other professionals from Kansas City were there. Zach Hubbard won, and Johnny Rhodes made his pro debut at Caveman Crew. They both lost, but Kroom obviously was victorious, beat Ripley in a first round, got through a little trouble early, but came out for his eighth consecutive professional victory, 6 by first round finish. So,
is there an event in the state of Missouri that you miss?
You know what?
It feels like every weekend or every event, you're either talking about it or you're there.
No, but thanks for asking.
I can't be two places at once, obviously. Right. Saturday night, I was in Invictus Fighting Championship in Kansas City, Ararat Shrine Temple, arguably the best amateur promotion in Kansas City, Lonnie Dodge's show. The same night was Blackout Fighting Championship in Fort Scott, Kansas. Made shorts for Rome Lindsay. He fought down there professionally, won 49 seconds or something in the first round. So I couldn't be there. I wanted to be there for Rome, but I couldn't be there. So I do travel every weekend. I've been to 4 events in 1 weekend on multiple occasions. So I stay busy as I can. I try and help as many fighters as I can. Obviously, try and work my own way through the business and develop myself as a fighter. So I stay extremely busy.
The human cock fighter Brian Ibs, and of course he owns Hillbilly Fightwear and among other brands, and he'll be joining us as the co-host tonight. Thomas McCullough rocking the mic and the board this evening. He's got some headline activity. Second segment, we're going to talk to the aforementioned Kevin Kroom, victorious Friday night at Midwest Fight League in Columbia, Missouri, which is a very interesting promotion. They were raffling off an AR-15. Come on.
Why not? There was some
tobacco
chewing.
It's
good for the community.
I mean, there was tobacco chewing. There was some red. There's first name Red, last name Nick. Yeah. Come on. I mean, it was a very cool show on Friday night in Columbia. I was also in attendance. And the third segment, we'll talk about it'll be more of the same. What we'll do is talk a little about the development of mixed martial arts, because now it's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Mixed martial arts as we know it, beginning with the first UFC back on November 12th, 1993. T-Mac, you had some headline activity?
I did. And for kind of an uneventful week, and there's not really any big name fights coming up, there is a lot of headlines. So let's just start off. First off, really quick one before we get into them. Happy birthday, 49th birthday to Mike Goldberg, play-by-play of the UFC. Today's
nice.
His birthday.
Doesn't look 49.
Yeah, 49 years
old. He commentated my leg lock loss at Shark Fights.
Did he?
The Goldberg.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. No, he's kind of a charming fellow, Mike the Goldberg.
He is.
No, Mike Goldberg, the guy that does the play-by-play. Not the wrestler.
The UFC guy?
No. Yeah, the UFC, right?
Oh, yeah. Not Goldberg.
Not Goldberg Spear.
Pardon me. Yes. I'll sit back in my chair.
Similar build.
Similar build, yeah, very much so. And more headlines. UFC planning to do around 40 to 45 shows next year, which is...
That's not enough.
Well, it's a step up from this year, which they're only doing 33. The one area they're looking to expand is they're going to expand their fight nights. Usually their fight nights have been in the United States. They're looking to take those into Europe and Asia. The first one for Asia is going to be in January, and the first one for Europe will be in London in March. And the one in London is going to be headlined by Alexander Gustafsson.
Nice. So they're going to...
Very nice.
The plan with the fight nights is they're going to take top contenders and put them in the main event so that... The casual fan has something to look forward to, but then they're going to fill it with guys who are still looking to make a name for themselves as far as being a high-profile fighter. And then, obviously, their top tier is still going to be their numbered UFCs, you know, the pay-per-views, UFC 168, so on and so forth.
Well, I think they ought to do 100 and all of them pay-per-views.
You know, I'm always in favor of them doing – well, I'm always in favor of them doing
more.
Because
I'd rather spend a little more.
Right. Well, I'm always in favor of them doing more events because
it's definitely a thriving economy we live in.
Sure. Yeah, that's for sure. But I'm always looking for them to do more events because, as many of the listeners know, I do a lot of the events for MMA around here. So hopefully, they need more because Burt Watson can't be everywhere. So
give me a call. You want to get the tap on that sunburned shoulder.
Right, exactly. Nice. So give me a call. But, yeah, so they're looking to expand to 40 to 45 shows. It'll be interesting. I mean, with that many events, I wonder if they're going to hire another matchmaker. Two guys running 45 events with injuries and, pay and all of that. I wonder how many more people they're going to put on board if they're going to continue to expand, worldwide with the UFC brand.
Now, and speaking of the economy, what they do is you have one guy, three or four people's jobs,
and
just pay them the same or less. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we're going and stuff. Yeah, because, because that's okay.
That is
as far
okay.
as you know. It's headlines with T-Mac on Fight You Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Another headline, this one's a little bit close to me because he is my favorite fighter, but Rich Franklin announced that I don't know if anyone says that, but I like it. Rich Franklin announced that his next fight will be his last. He said that he understands he's not in title contention anymore. He wants to do one more fight because obviously he suffered a tremendous knockout loss to Kung Lee earlier this year. And so he's going to do one more fight, and that will be his last fight.
How many times has a fighter said that?
Well, with him,
I've never even heard. Yeah, is that
this is the
once
first
you retire,
time,
you're done. Guys ever come back? I don't think
never.
I've ever seen that.
No, yeah, especially fighters. Yeah.
Well, with him, he's got another business.
They forget
going.
That they retire.
Yeah. Well, with him, he's got another business.
A little
going.
Punchy, no dummy.
He's got another business going. He's starting a supplement company and like a smoothie and juices like
Ohio
restaurant.
Native.
Yeah. It's actually based in Los Angeles, but so I think he's going to do one more fight to get that knockout loss kind of out of his mind. Hopefully leave on a victory over a mid-level guy. An Alan Belcher would be a good fight for him, I think. That would be an entertaining fight. I think he could beat him, get that win and then go on out.
Love to see him go out with the win. And speaking of Kung Lee, I saw him in a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'll kick your butt. And Gilbert Melendez was in it.
Really?
And it was like you can imagine. It was like some gang activity, and then, there's a love interest and all that nonsense. But looked like a nice production. I didn't watch the whole thing, but still, there was a little ass-whipping on there, and Kung Lee was the star.
Kung Lee was also in another movie. I think it was a Quentin Tarantino film. It was Man with the Iron Fist, and it actually came out like 2 weeks before he knocked out Rich Franklin. So everyone was saying Rich Franklin got knocked out by the Man with the Iron Fist. Yada, yada, yada. That movie actually had Batista, former WWE star.
Batista was in and it. A cage fighter in his own right.
Yeah, let's not go that far. And then in my last headline that I've got is...
You must not have seen that, Brian.
I'm at a loss for words, and that's rare.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then in my last headline, I've got John Jones versus Cain Velasquez coming soon. John Jones said,
really?
John Jones says, I think that's going to happen in the next 2 years. I'll go up to heavyweight permanently. I'm looking to take a super fight sooner or later within the next year. So, you know, he's a young man growing every day. Obviously, 205 is going to be harder and harder for him to make. I think as he clears out that division, because really, I feel after he beats Glover,
yeah,
and then maybe does
Glover,
yeah, and then does a rematch with Gustafson. I mean, you could do another Rashad fight, but that fight was very convincing.
Nah,
the
man,
first
I
want to
see him against GSP.
Yeah,
I don't know. Rashad looked pretty damn good the other night.
Rashad looked great, but
really
I just
good.
Don't know how yes, well. I mean, those are the three fights off the top of my head that I think John Jones has at 205 left to prove. And then if he's convincing like he has been before the Gustafson fight, I think heavyweight is where he has to go.
If he can beat Gustafson.
Right, which a lot of people think he didn't, you know. And yeah. So I think that rematch is warranted. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he has to get through Glover. And then if he gets through gets through Gustafson and Rashad, I think that gives him 2 years, three fights in 2 years. That's probably about right for that caliber of fighter. And then he would have to go to heavyweight.
Well, Velasquez is not a huge heavyweight. What
yeah.
240, probably 245
yeah.
maybe.
Right.
Yeah, the most.
He's
yeah.
not huge.
Yeah, so, and I think that's a great fight. I think, who do you favor in that fight, actually, Ozone?
Cain Velasquez.
So do I.
Mm-hmm. I think he gets a hold of him, and he's going to be the one to get a hold of him and get Johnny Jones down and mm-hmm. keep him down, you know, and pound him. Mm-hmm. And I think he can get a hold of him, and, you know, if John Jones can stay away, he can win, I guess, and pick him apart. I don't think he can really hurt Cain too badly with strikes and what have you. Never know. But I like Cain in that one.
I like Cain, too. And I think the fight would go a lot like how the Junior Dos Santos-Cain fight went, as far as Cain controls the center of the octagon. He pressures John Jones, and John Jones is hoping to land, you know, a spinning back elbow or some crazy strike to catch him off guard. But Cain, I feel like, would, push the pressure. He never gets tired in any of his fights. Put him up against the cage. Eventually probably get a double leg. And then, you know, TKO.
Junior Dos Santos landed a lot of heavy punches from weird angles on Cain.
That's
and he
true.
Didn't never quit moving forward.
Right,
no, he
exactly.
didn't. And then so that was, I don't know if it was a fluke, but their first fight, I mean, he got caught him behind the ear,
yeah.
I guess it was.
Yeah,
it was
on the
just
back
bad,
of the head maybe.
Bad
yeah.
shot.
Yeah.
Knocked off his equilibrium. And there was the win for JDS, Junior Dos Santos. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We're talking headline activity with T-Mac.
Yeah, so those are the headlines for this week. You know, going back to the John Jones versus Cain Velasquez fight, Dana White really said that the super fight is done. He's tired of hearing about it, you know, because for so long you heard about
then
Anderson.
Then why did he always talk about
right,
it?
Right, but it was so long. It was Anderson Silva GSP, right? And then Anderson Silva John Jones. And then Anderson Silva loses, and then he's like, I'm done with it. And now John Jones brings up, I'd like to fight Cain Velasquez. So it'd be interesting to
none
see
none of these
what,
fights have happened.
Right, none of these yeah. fights have happened. But it'd be interesting to see what Dana White's comments would be, because I think we all know of how young John Jones is, and he's a growing man, he has to go to heavyweight. So I don't really know if that's a super fight or just the most logical step for John Jones as he gets older. Because, like, with GSP, he would have to gain weight to go up to 85. And he was, what, in his late 20s, early 30s? You know what I mean? So it wouldn't make a lot of sense. For John Jones, for being as young as he is, you know, he's going to grow. So I think heavyweight has to be where he goes next. And so we'll see what Dana White has to say about a super fight with Cain Velasquez.
Headlines on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Boxing headline, Manny Pacquiao returned to the ring against Brandon Bam Bam Rios, a native of Garden City, Kansas. Talks a lot of smack.
Yes, he
and,
does.
And they went in there and went at it. It was in Macau in China. And Pac-Man dominated completely for all 12 rounds. Now he's the WBO, World Body Odor, Intercontinental, International, something or other champion, 147 pounds, big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, and it's a good win from Pacquiao coming off of two losses, one of them a knockout, one of them questionable. But, you know, back in action, and it looks like he's still got it, old Pac-Man, Baybab.
Where do you think he goes after that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Do you think he rematches?
I think he could do a fifth fight with Marquez.
Yeah.
He could certainly do that. Maybe again against Bradley. You know,
I think
a lot
Bradley
of thought,
would be good.
A lot of people thought that was, I mean, and Pacquiao's been a lot of, you know, controversial. He's gotten a draw. He's gotten a win when they think he should have got a loss. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, rematch Bradley. I think it's inevitable, another fight with Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not going to talk about him and Mayweather because it's never going to happen.
Nope.
And it shouldn't anyway because Mayweather would, I think, dominate him. I thought he would have, you know, 3 years ago as well. But Pac-Man back in the win column with his totally dominant victory over Bam Bam Rios. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We're going to take a break, aren't we?
Mm,
And we're going to come back with the hard-hitting hillbilly. Kevin Kroom was victorious on Friday night. He's next. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Van.
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The calm before the storm.
You're tuned in to Combat Sports Central. This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan.
Testies, 1, 2, 3. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Welcome in. It's a holiday week. A lot of people taking this week off. Thanksgiving is Thursday, I believe. I think it's on a Thursday this
usually.
Year.
Usually.
This year it's on a Thursday, Thanksgiving.
Got any plans for it?
So, yeah, I'm going to eat a big vegetarian holiday loaf, as it turns out. But it's Fight Show Live, Ozone here.
Did T-Mac you fry that?
On the mic and on the control board. And we've got guest host Brian Imes, the human cockfighter, is in studio with us. And we're going to now talk to Kevin Kroom, the hard-hitting hillbilly.
Brought to you by hillbillyfiber.com.
What's going on, guys?
Are you with us, sweet daddy? It sure sounds like it. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. And watching action on Friday and Columbia at the Midwest Fight League is what they call it. And, man, that was a very very interesting promotion, and you continue your meteoric rise. And, you know, a word on your opponent. You know, you've got the professor, a guy who is very well respected around here. He's a close friend, advisor, and training partner to, all of the UFC fighters that are based out of Kansas City, and guys that have been in Bellator and Strikeforce. Highly respected dude, very tough opponent. Had you in some tough situations. What are your thoughts on the win over the professor on Friday?
First of all, man, I have mad respect for Mr. Ripley. Derek, he's been a good friend of mine for a while. And, you know, this is one of those situations where, man, in this sport, if you like somebody, you're going to wind up fighting them. You know, if they're close to your weight class, you can go ahead, just go ahead and bet on you fighting them. You know, and that's one of those things, man, we both just needed a paycheck, man, and that's what this sport's about. And, man, tell you the truth, I'm happy to have it over with. Shoot, I don't like having to fight my friends, you know. And, man, I'm really kind of happy the way it turned out. None of us got hurt. We didn't cut. I know Derek has some wicked elbows, man. They're really sharp. So, you know, I mean, it could have ended up really bloody and just really nasty. And I'm really happy it didn't have to go there. You know, we settled it without having to get all bloody, man. So it's a lot better. But, yeah, man, I'm super happy with the win, man. Number eight in a row. This is my sixth, man. I haven't been out of the first round in an MMA fight in a year. Man, you know, I'm pretty happy. I couldn't be happier, really.
Kevin Kroom is with us, victorious over Derek Ripley on Friday night, and really rising up the ranks. A lot of people are talking UFC activity. Kevin, your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you hear from them, or what are you hearing from management? Where are we in terms of the next step for Kevin Kroom?
You know, I'm there. I'm on the radar for sure. I know for a fact that Joe Silva and Dana White, they know my name. they were after my last fight for Titan. You know, they were at Joe Silva was asking about me. You know, so I mean, you know, that's the first step in this is get on the radar, get these people to see who you are, and then the second step is going to be keep winning. And I just did that last night. At this point, man, I'm trying to get on another, you know, big televised organization like Titan or RFA, maybe even Legacy. You know, I want to fight someone with a name, you know, like, I don't know, just off the top of my head, like Chase Beebe or, you know, just somebody with a name that I can take. I'm trying to take someone's name. I'm trying to take their fame. And I'm trying to get a call from the UFC, man. Start making some money.
That's right. And trying to whoop somebody ass, Kevin Kern, hard hitting hillbilly and T-Mac.
Well, you know, a lot of people see your style, and it's hard to describe. So first, tell us a little bit about your style. It's so in your face, 100%, you know, pedal to the metal. But describe your style, and then how did you come up with your style of fighting?
I mean, I'd say I'm a master of hillbilly kung fu.
Yes, you can.
Yes, sir. I've always been a scrapper, you know. I learned how to fighting like six people getting beat up in the wrestling room, you know. I've always just been really wild and, you know, really aggressive is kind of my thing, you know. I mean, obviously, I learned how to wrestle. Apparently, a whole bunch of people just underrate my crown game, man. I mean, I came up, wrestling, doing jiu-jitsu. I just started doing, gi jiu-jitsu, tightening everything up, man. You know, I mean, my ground game's really solid, you know. And at this point in my game, you know, I just really been working on my striking just to tighten that up. I'm all about hitting first, hitting hardest, and not stopping, man. That's the only thing my father ever taught me about fighting. He told me to hit him first, hit him hard, and don't stop. So that's my style right there.
Well, who do you train with for these styles? You know, you said you have an undergraded ground game. Who are you training with your jiu-jitsu and things like that?
Okay, so I just started like 2 months ago training at Gracie Baja Jiu-Jitsu in New Mexico. They have a lot of really good black belts out there. My one of my head coaches, Rafael Barata, he was on a tough fighter this season, but he got knocked off in the eliminations. And he just got second at Worlds in no gi, man. I mean, I'm rolling with super legit people, that are tapping me out left and right and showing me what's up. As far as my stand up, I started at the beginning of the year, man. I started working with Danny Romero, 3-time world champion boxer, just really, really up in my striking game. And then from there, I started working kickboxing with Ray E. He is out of Albuquerque kickboxing. He's, Donald Cerrone's former striking coach. You know, used to work with Eric Perez, Goito, Luna Garcia. You know what I mean? So I'm just really working with some of the best. And the thing is, you know, everybody that I'm working with, I kind of handpicked because our styles mesh. You know, like we get along really well. I'm all about family, and I believe in keeping people around you who believe in you and really care about you. That's what I do, and it seems to be working out for me really well.
Hard-hitting hillbilly Kevin Kroom is with us. And man, you mentioned a list of luminaries there. I remember Danny Romero, I believe, had a great rivalry with the late, great Johnny Tapia.
Mr. Tapia, yeah. Yes, R.I.P., man.
Yeah, he was a terrific fighter.
Yeah, man, I was at his funeral.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, yes, sir. You're right, they did, man. Both huge hometown kids there in Albuquerque, and it was a pretty bloody thing back then.
Hell yeah. And speaking of Albuquerque, I mean, you're a Missouri kid, but how much time are you spending there? Did you relocate, or what's going on?
All right, first of all, let's make it known, I love Missouri. I'm from here, these are my roots, man.
There you go.
Born and raised Columbia, Missouri, I love it here. Now, having said that, I can get into a lot of trouble being born and raised from here, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And, I got the few friends that just know the right things to say that'll get me to do the wrong thing. I'm trying to grow up and be a better man than I used to be, you know? So, I made the move full-time. You know, I've been going out to train at Jackson's since 2008. I just made the move full-time to chase the dream in 2011. And, I just haven't looked back. It makes coming home 10 times greater, for me. I get to have a whole bunch of fun, and then I get to leave. And then, I like Albuquerque, but, it just keeps me hungry, It keeps me really hungry living out there. I'm by myself. I don't really have a whole bunch of friends. I pretty much hit the couch, my bed, in the gym, That's my life.
So, yeah, you eliminate the distractions of home, but also you got that high-level training. I mean, it sounds like the perfect cocktail for success for Kevin Kroon, the hard-hitting hillbilly.
Heck, yeah, and add to that the elevation training. Cardio is another one of my big things. I mean, I feel like I've been known for good cardio, and so nowadays it's just ridiculous, you know? I mean, I work out with Clay Guida's fitness coach.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That gives you the type of, you know, people I'm working with.
Yeah, a guy who brings it all night, of course, nonstop, right. Relentless action. So, yeah.
And I should just say, man, seeing me and Clay go around the sparring pretty intense.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome.
Yeah, do us a favor and have someone film that and send it to us, because that's something I think everyone would love to see.
Yeah, man, I'll see what I can do next time he's around.
Two squirrels and a wool sock. Kroom, it's Brian. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? Yes, you can. How you doing, Mr.
I'm real good. Congrats on Friday again. I just
I appreciate it. Those are some good-looking shorts you had me in, sir.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. A little background information for the people listening. Kroom and I met at Bellator in 2010 at the Power and Light District. We fought on the same card.
Both of us fought on that.
Both of us fought. He finished Brian Davidson the second round. I went three rounds with John Ott and ended up in the hospital. With a broken wrist, dislocated thumb, and bleeding out of my ear.
Man, I'm just going to say that was a much better night for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went to the casino and won like $200 after I won.
Amen. We met at the weigh-ins the day before, and Kroom came up to me and said hello, thinking I was my older brother Brad, of course. And then when he found out that I wasn't Brad, he was, I guess, too shy to walk away, so he stood there and listened.
I was stuck in the middle of the conversation, you know? The fight card said Brian Imes, not Brad Imes, but my hand was already out, you know. and I mean, yeah, I was stuck in the conversation. So. And after, on the same token, Brian's over there thinking, who's this little squirt, you know?
They tell me he's from Columbia, but I ain't never heard of him. And he ain't any bigger in a minute. And you had long hair then. You was all scraggly, but we've stayed friends over the times. You've flown back into Kansas City and gone to Titan, and I've picked you up and taken you to cut weight at the YMCA and stuff. And we've developed.
Yeah, Brian Imes supports Kevin Kroom, y'all.
Amen. But good lesson for the guys listening out there. A lot of amateur fighters listening to the show. Keep contact with people who are good to you and who take care of you, and you can grow together in the sport. Kroom and I were at the same spot 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now we both obviously evolved.
Let me reiterate that, man, 100%. Listen, there's one thing. I mean, man, when I left town, I was just a, you know, wide-eyed kid with a dream, you know, and reality hit me in the face like a truck, you know. And, yeah, man, it's really hard to find somebody who cares about you in this business. Nobody looked at me for a second for a lot of years. And, man, finally I'm on an 8-fight win streak, and everybody wants to jump on the Kevin Kroom bandwagon now, which is cool. And, you know, you have to be open to that. And, I mean, that's awesome. And that's what gets you higher. But never turn your back on the people who do you right, 100%, man. And you'll have a lot of situations where, you know, you kind of – they throw money in your face, or, you know, you know somebody offers you big dreams. But, you know, I mean, you always want to be loyal to the people who have been loyal to you. And you know what? If something better comes up, those loyal people will understand, you know. So, man, just keep your open lines of communication. Keep the people by your side who really care about you, and you can make it a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, remember where you came from, and it's not just money in your face when you start getting a big name there, Kevin Kroom. I'm sure you know that.
Hey, Kevin Kroom would be willing to put it on the line that he's the best 135er in the world, wouldn't you, buddy?
Yeah, sure, man.
Yes, you can.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about is I follow you on Instagram. I'm friends with you on Facebook. I follow you on Twitter. Tell us a little bit about this Ninja Turtle obsession. I always see you at Titan shows. You have Ninja Turtle pants on. Pajama pants on at Instagram,
so, I
all
mean,
of that
I,
stuff.
I'm pretty sure that I think it all just boils down to my parents didn't let me watch enough cartoons when I was a kid. I think that's probably it. I just I love cartoons, man. I woke up the day before I fight, and Babar was on. What? Who remembers Babar? Can I get a shout-out?
Of course,
out?
Yeah.
That's real stuff right
that
there.
That elephant, man.
If you,
I
if
think
you
wore a suit.
Babar, and then you win a fight that night, that is some Thug Life stuff. Let me tell you.
Absolutely, sweet daddy.
That's heavy.
But, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I love the Turtles. I've always loved the Turtles. And it's kind of like that scene in Talladega Nights where he's like, hey, you remember when they called us retards for playing with Matchbox cars? Who's the retards now? You know, I feel like I've been in the ninjas my whole life, and people always laughed at me. So it's like, well, what? I am a ninja.
Yeah. Now what? Yeah, Kevin Kroom is with us, and man, the hard hitting hillbilly. And I know it's a little soon, and we talked a little about you know, the fact that you're on the radar of the big dogs, the big names, UFC, and that kind of thing. But in the immediate, what's in your immediate future, Kevin Kroom?
You know, right now, man, I'll tell you what, what's in my immediate future?
Yes.
Man, I've been putting in a ton of work in 2013, straight up, a ton of work, and I'm about ready to enjoy my next month, man. I'm going on an adventure. I'm going to go out to California and just spend a few weeks hanging out, man. And that's the plan at the moment. I'm going to recoup and, you know, get my mind right again and get hungry again. And then from there on, I'm trying to get another, you know, a big high-profile fight, man. I would like to main event a Axis TV card, you know, and I'd like to take someone with a name, like I said. So finding that is the next big thing for me, you know. I've already talked to the people who help manage me and everything, and they know what I want, so that's what we're going to get.
Well, good, man. I mean, congratulations on a successful year. It's now a holiday season, so, you know, this Thursday, get you some bird, you know, get a belly full of bird and enjoy the holidays, man, and can't wait to see what's next for you, Kevin Kroom. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I really appreciate the exposure, guys, and awesome, man. You guys keep living the rock and roll lifestyle.
You got it, sweet daddy.
You can follow Kevin at hardhittinghillbilly.com, where you can find him on Facebook, Hard Hitting Hillbilly, Kevin Kroom, that's C-R-O-O-M.
Yes, sir, and on Twitter at HHHillbillyKC. And, yeah, man, if you guys got any questions or anything like that, I love talking to my fans, y'all, my people, so just hit me up, and I'll be glad to answer some questions.
Kevin Kroom, Hard Hitting Hillbilly, thanks again, brother. Man, we're looking forward to talking to you real soon.
Yes, sir. Everybody have a good holidays. I love you guys.
See you, brother.
All right. Yeah. Hard-hitting hillbilly having a very impressive year and an outstanding win against a very tough and wily competitor, Derek Ripley, Friday night in Columbia. We'll take a break and come back with more. We'll talk a little about the 20 years of mixed martial arts since the advent of the Ultimate Fighting Championship and some other stuff, too. That's all next on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. You say you need a good reason to check out the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com? Well, I've got five. Number one, Fight Show Live. Masters in the business of beatdown, Ozone and T-Mac bring you all things MMA. Number two, Trending Mobile Technology. Piper the DJ takes a bite out of the mobile space every week as he gives you Android, iOS, Microsoft, and BlackBerry. Number three, The Real News. MJR shares politics and current events the only way he knows how, unbiased and honestly. Number four, The Spanish Announce Table. Captain Awesome and T-Mac are slamming your face through a table full of wrestling knowledge every week as they break down WWE and TNA. Number five, Old School at the Movies. Mr. Old School and his panel of critics are your one-stop shop for all your movie needs as they give you box office hits, DVD releases, even Netflix, and the bargain bin. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Better check in every day, because you never know what's going to be trending next.
The number one authority on ass whipping and Kansas City's best MMA show. But you knew that already. Welcome back to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Really enjoyed hearing from Kevin Kroom, man. The young man is on his way, the hard-hitting hillbilly. Thanks to him for joining us. And now we're going to talk a little about the development of mixed martial arts over the last 20 years. Mixed martial arts, as we know it, of course, there were other events that, pitted different styles against one another. And there was, you know, Vale Tudos and stuff like that that was happening like over in Brazil. And Japan had done some things like that as well. But UFC 1 began the era of mixed martial arts. It wasn't even called that then, back in November 12th, 1993. It was called, they called it NHB, No Holds Barred. But the late Jeff Blatnick was instrumental in, I think, maybe even named mixed martial arts, maybe even coined the phrase, as we know it today, mixed martial arts, because that had a little more, I guess, palatability for regulatory bodies. No holds barred. That sounds like, well, I mean, that means you can do anything.
Anything goes.
I went to UFC 167 this Saturday last in Las Vegas, Nevada. And man, it was great. We had local guys. Jason High was victorious. Tim Elliott lost a decision to Ivan Kachikakov. No, I was a Russian. Bogatinov.
Bogatinov.
But I went to the weigh-ins. I went to a question and answer before that, and it was Mark the Hammer Coleman, one of the pioneers and stuff. That's back when you could headbutt.
Yeah.
And it was Dan Severn, who won UFC 5, maybe? I think he won UFC 5. He was in UFC 4. The first time anybody saw a triangle, at least the first time I saw one, was when Hoyce Gracie, after about 30 minutes, triangled his ass. And Dan Severn didn't know what the hell that was.
And he was really the most high-profiled wrestler, I feel like, that made it in MMA. He was the first guy that's like has collegiate experience. The collegiate world.
International
experience. And the wrestling community kind of was like, this is our guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, he had wrestled, but no one really likes him, or he's not really good. No, this guy had the legit background and came in. And like you said, didn't know what a triangle was. So when he's in it, he doesn't know how to get out of it.
Well, and then everybody had their specialty. I mean, Gracie's thing was Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and Severn was a wrestler, and yada, yada, yada down the road. Now everybody is trained and or versed in about everything from Muay Thai to wrestling to jiu-jitsu to, you know, kickboxing and boxing. And
you have to be.
You have to be, absolutely, in order to compete, especially at that level.
Yeah, and I really feel like MMA is its own style now. You know what I mean? Like you said, everyone's training in, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, or whatever it is. But now the kids aren't learning the individual styles. They're learning MMA. So they're learning in the cage tactics to do during a fight, whereas, you know, as we were talking about at the very start, it was, okay, if I get hit, I go for a double leg, because in wrestling, if I'm in a, you know, in any kind of bad situation, that's what I do. Where now it's, they're learning an MMA style to win points or to try to knock out or submit the opponent. So I really feel like MMA today is its own style.
Right. Well, and every fighter has his own style. You talked to Kroom earlier, and you said, what about your style, or explain your style, or you have to remember these guys, especially at the professional level, at the top professional level, they're all artists,
right?
So to speak. They've developed their own trade or their own trade set, their own skill set, and they are artists. There are guys that I've trained with, pro fighters, that can do things I've never seen anybody do, and they do it in their own way. And you wouldn't think that it could be done, but they can make it work. Jeb Childs is a guy I fought real early in my career who's a lifelong martial artist, karate and jiu-jitsu. He's been an instructor. He's at his own schools. I hit him with a heel kick right in the gut early off in our fight. And he said, we've obviously become friends since then, and he wears Hillbilly Fightwear, and I booked fights for him. And he told me after the fight years later, I saw you practicing that kick in the back room, and I said to my brother, if he hits me with that, I'm going to throw up my hands and quit. And the first thing I did was kick him in the gut with my heel, and he backed up four steps like, ooh.
Right.
So it's all about the individualism of it, and that's great. I think that's what people like about it.
Absolutely, and everyone brings, you know, like you said, their own style to what is now a hybrid, and what T-Mac called mixed MMA is its own style, because you have to, which is a hybrid of really what began as Eastern martial arts, like traditional jiu-jitsu, which then became Brazilian jiu-jitsu with an emphasis on ground fighting, and you blend the Eastern martial martial arts with Western martial arts. To me, Western martial arts are boxing and wrestling.
Yeah.
So I mean, so it's a hybrid blend, which now we know as MMA, mixed martial arts. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
And one of the first guys that I can remember, if you're looking at like the evolution of the sport that really started kind of blending all of those styles together, at least at a high level, was Frank Shamrock. Frank Shamrock was one of the first guys that were like, hey, I'm going to strike with you, but then also I can take you down. I can also put you in a submission. And he was really
dictate
that,
the scenario.
Right, yeah. Take the scenario and I can beat you in there. He was really the trailblazer, I feel, as far as beginning to do MMA, not style versus style. And, you know, he got a lot of success from it, beat Tito Ortiz, you know, in their first fight, really out-cardioed. Tito in that first fight, which was amazing because, you know, wrestlers are known for their cardio and just 100% all the time. And then, he was one of those trailblazers that really started it and kind of took Ken Shamrock's fame, you know, had the last name, and then developed his own style and then became a star himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking mixed martial arts as we know it. The 20th anniversary was UFC 167 last Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was at, as I mentioned, the question and answer, which preceded the weigh-ins for the event the following night, which was UFC 167. I mentioned Mark the Hammer Coleman, Dan Severn, who still looks about the same with a perfect standalone mustache.
It's amazing in person. Oh. If you see it on TV, it's better in person.
Doesn't do it justice. Yes. Yeah, no, he looks terrific. I mean, he really looks the same as he always did. And first time we saw him back in, must have been 94 at UFC 4 when he fought Hoist Gracie in the finals of that event. Also on stage was Art Jimerson, who competed against Hoist Gracie.
With one boxing glove.
Now that's his nickname, and he's latched onto that and used it as a marketing tool, you know, to talk about, I mean, really, because he's a pioneer, and he was really funny. He was a successful boxer as an amateur and national Golden Gloves champion and pretty solid pro for a number of years, but he's the guy, when you see the highlights, who had the boxing trunks, the boxing boots, and one glove on his jabbing hand. And he's wearing that glove, and he's taking pictures with everybody, and he's really funny in the question and answer because he was like, "Man, I didn't know what the hell I was doing." And you know, he points out, "Hey, I fought in one UFC fight, but I fought the best guy, and he fought the Hoist Gracie, and the other member of that panel, the 4-man panel in the Q&A on Friday of the week before last, before UFC 167, was the great Hoist Gracie. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and Art Jimerson gets it. You know what I mean? He's not trying to make himself bigger than what he was. He understands, hey, I was that guy that you always see in the first UFC when they talk about all these styles coming together. So I like that he understands his role. He's not trying to be more important or bigger than the spotlight.
No, he makes really fun of himself. Right. And the fans really appreciated that, too.
Yeah, it's very endearing.
Because he is part of history. You know, he was in the first event against Hoist Gracie, who, you know, the Gracie family started the whole thing. And he gets his place in history. And he's funny. Yeah. You know, he's just really cool guy. And a lot of people were taking pictures with him, wanting autographs and
definitely
stuff.
Definitely. And it's really interesting if you look back to that first UFC, because he doesn't tap out to a hold. He taps out to being mounted and not knowing what's
back.
Going on.
Yeah, no, yeah. He felt suffocated and freaked out. Yeah.
I mean, Gracie didn't do any head and arm triangle.
He didn't even get that far.
He didn't, yeah, he just
shows
got
you how
mounted.
Far we've come.
Exactly.
You know? Short amount of time.
Right.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so it was a really good event.
How was the weigh-ins? Yeah. I mean, I went to a weigh-in when it was Rampage versus Rashad. It felt like a million people were in there. I got the privilege to sit front row, and so I got to really fully, you know, experience it. But how was it for this one? Because that was 2 years ago. I can imagine it's just even better.
It was pretty crazy. I mean, I was down there in the second row behind the press row and stuff. So, I mean, it was definitely crazy. I mean, people are obviously very into it. Weigh-ins have come a long way. Weigh-ins have always been a pretty routine, you know, operation until 1964 in boxing when Cassius Clay, then Muhammad Ali, of course, later, but was in his first fight with Sonny Liston, the heavyweight title challenge, and Cassius Clay freaked out, started yelling and screaming and all this stuff, and people thought, oh my God, he's scared to death, and they took his heart rate and his blood pressure were off the charts because, oh my, this man's scared to death, he can't fight. That was just when the first time someone really freaked out at a weigh-in and made it something other than just a routine sort of operation.
Entertainment.
But it's now it's become, you know, with UFC is responsible for a lot of that. I mean,
yes, to some extent,
boxing. But there's not a couple thousand people watching boxing weigh-ins until recently. Now there is with the big fights. I mean,
well,
you know, but
yeah, with boxing though, I feel like you watch the weigh-ins because fighter A might slap fighter B.
Right.
You watch the weigh-ins for a UFC.
You want to see what kind of underwear they're wearing?
Who slaps?
Well, you know.
Me?
You've seen it before. But with the UFC, it's an actual event. You know what I mean? They have pre-fighter interviews. They have the main event trailer. It's literally an event. You could go to that and be satisfied even if you don't go the next night to the fight.
No, it's a big deal and part of the show and part of the pageantry that that surrounds a big fight, especially the 20th anniversary of UFC at UFC 167.
There's a lot more intimacy with mixed martial arts than there is with boxing.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Of the artistic ability of the competitors.
Brian Iams has joined us as a co-host, and before we get out of here, what's going on with you, sweet daddy? Tell us what's doing. What's
let's
cooking?
See.
How's tricks?
3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, professional boxing debut in Wichita,
yes.
Kansas, months, one day out of reconstruction on my right knee. Not so bad, not so good. My knee was real sore the next day, which tells me I wasn't quite ready for all that.
But you went almost a whole four rounds with an experienced pro and a guy done some time.
Charles Ellis, he's 7-1-1 as a pro now. He was a 2005 National Gold Gloves champ.
Great showing by you.
Had a good
way.
Fight. He came right at me and shocked me. You know, I'm thinking boxing, and he's thinking brawling. He took a knee in the first, and then he knocked me down twice after that. So three times down in the first, I won the second. We split the third. He hit me real hard with it right in the fourth. So, but other than that, I'm back to training. I'll be training at Brass Boxing with Austin Ford and Waldo. I'll be teaching a couple classes a week, and I'll be training full-time real soon at Grindhouse, Kansas City.
Nice.
Ooh, shocker.
Good for you, sweetie.
Definitely
daddy.
Good for the community.
Thanks for everybody for listening, and thank you to Kevin Kroom, the hard-hitting hillbilly. We'll see you next week on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.